Acts. We started 2.5 months ago. We're gonna have to pick up the pace a little bit if we're gonna be done by Christmas, but we're doing our best, all right? Acts 29. We know there's only 28 chapters in the book of Acts, but you are chapter 29, all right? Because the book of Acts is not the end. It's just an account. The book of Acts covers a period of over 30 years in the early church. And so when you read it, don't think of it like this all happened in a few weeks, but this happened over a long period of time, and it continues on even today. Last week, we ended a part, we got halfway through chapter 3. Wasn't that an exciting story as Peter and John went to the temple and became gloves on God's hand, and they healed the lame man? Remember, we talked about how to be a glove on God's hand. Peter and John showed us how. There's four ways. First way is just in your daily routine. Peter and John were doing what they always do. They were going to the temple. It was what they do every day. And God will use you as a glove on his hand, even in your daily routine. We saw that they looked at things, but now they were going to see things. Don't just look, but see. Have a spirit situational awareness with discernment. God's giving that to you just like they had. They'd passed that lame man many times, but that day would be different. And so that's going to be your experience too. If you want to be a glove on God's hand, then the third way to be a glove on God's hand was to be open to the supernatural power of God flowing through you. I know some of you, that might make you a little nervous, but I believe God's already doing that and you don't even know it. You don't even know it. Amen? And he's working and he wants to enlarge that capacity in your life, because whatever you do won't be by your strength. It's going to be by God's strength. Amen? You are an earthen vessel with a treasure inside. Why? If you keep reading, Paul said that you might know that the power is not of you, but it's of God. Amen? Praise God. And what was the fourth way to put a glove? For you to be a glove on God's hand, you got to be a good pointer. Peter and John showed us how to point, not this way, but this way. We need to point people to Jesus. Well, that was his sermon. We cut him off before he got done. You ever do that with me? You tune me out and then you tune me back? Okay, I understand it. Well, we're going to pick it up back again. But today, as we look at his message, we're going to see some good news and some bad news. Good news and bad. Has anybody ever said to you, I got some good news, I got some bad news? Question, this is a little survey. We took it this morning. How many of you would like to have the bad news first? Raise your hand. Okay. How many would like to have the good news first? Raise your hand. All right, smaller group. People are going with the bad news. Here's the reality. It's okay either way. Some people like to get the bad news first because they know that once they get through that bad news, that good news is going to be there for them, and I understand that. Some people, however, they get the good news first because they know that's going to take them through the bad news, all right? So today in the account we read, I want you to look for the bad news, good news. But I also want you to consider, this is something you hear me talk about this a lot, so just by way of reminder, I want you to look for the three kingdom P's. The three kingdom P's. You had a quote for me in the prayer room today of something I said 30 years ago. Don't complain about things that you tolerate. I forgot I said that, but that's a great quote. Amen. Amen. I gotta write that down even though I said it. Praise God. Well, here's the three P's. They're in everywhere. Everywhere you're gonna see them from the beginning to the end. These three P's are in play. Here they are: promise, problem, provision. You're going to see it in the account today. What's that mean? Well, God has made promises for us, and the reason is because we have a problem. And the promise takes us through the problem to get to the provision. All right? So whenever you see a promise, look for the problem. Every promise has a problem. And every time you're in a problem, look for the promise. Every problem has a promise attached to it, and it will take you through the problem into the provision. All right? Are you ready for that? We're just gonna pick it up. Our theme, our title today is Times of Refreshing. We're gonna be finishing the third chapter, and we're specifically, take out your insert, we're gonna specifically be looking for four paths to refreshing. You say, that's not what this says. I know. Scratch that out. All right? Because I realized after I did this, this has got to be a two-part message. So this here we're gonna do in 2 weeks, all right? But we're going to get set up for it. So in place, look, we were going to look at responses to resistance, but today we want to first look at the refreshing that comes and how it relates even to resistance. And if you're going to deal with resistance, you got to know God has a place for you. He has times of refreshing for you. So take your insert, get ready to follow along. We're still going to have the 4 points, just a different topic. All right, are you ready? Let's get started. Verse 17 through 19, here it is. Now we're going to refer to these three verses over three times. Our first three paths are all going to come from this text right here. All of them. So we're going to keep going back to it. Let's read it. Here it is. Friends, some of yours will say brethren or brothers. I realize what you and your leaders did to Jesus was done in ignorance. What's he talking about? Well, his previous sermon, he told them three times, you killed Jesus. You killed Jesus. That's some bad news. Well, now he's going to kind of soften it a little bit. Hey, I know what you did. It was in ignorance. You knew you were killing somebody, but you didn't know the big picture. But God, don't you love those words? But God was fulfilling what all the prophets had foretold about the Messiah, that he must suffer these things. Now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away or blotted out. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord. If you want to walk in paths of refreshments, here's the first path you're going to take. You need to see your problem for what it is. You need to see your problem. This is the bad news, all right? You need to see, listen. You need, the world needs to know the truth about us. Your best friends are those who will not just smooth things over. You don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Say, I really want to know the truth. Well, maybe you do, maybe you don't. If I really tell you the truth, are you going to be able to see? So sometimes we don't like to tell people the truth. We like to dress it up a little bit because it's hard. But here's the reality. When I came to Jesus, I was a train wreck. I was a train wreck. And I'm glad that God sent someone in my life to tell me that. They didn't smooth it over. They didn't dress it up. Joe, you're a train wreck. Your life is a mess. It's like going to the doctor, and he comes in the room after doing the tests, and he says, well, I got some bad news. You say, well, how bad is it, doc? Do you want him to lie to you? Do you want him just to smooth it over? What if you had appendicitis, and the doctor came in and said, take these pills for your pain? You know what that means? You'll die without pain because he treated the symptom, not the problem. Remember, we got a problem, but God has made a promise, right? But we got to know what that problem is. And I'm glad that Peter here is telling them about the problem, and he's shooting them straight. He's not dressing it up. He's telling them straight. And I think we need to know that too. God came along and told us the way it was. Here it is. These are some scriptures. I'm going to read them to you. You can meditate on them later. Romans 3, 9 and 20. And I'll be reading from the New Living Translation unless I tell you otherwise. But these are great. Just listen to these words. Paul says, well then, should we conclude that we Jews are better than others? No, not at all. For we have already shown that all people, whether Jews or Gentiles, are under the power of sin. As the scripture says, no one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. All have turned away. All have become useless. No one does good, not a single one. Their talk is foul like the stench from an open grave. Their tongues are filled with lies. This one kind of gives me the heebie-jeebies here. He says snake venom is dripping from their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. They rush to commit murder. Destruction and misery always follow them. They don't know where to find peace. They have no fear of God at all. Obviously, the law applies to those to whom it was given, for its purpose is to keep people from having excuses and to show that the entire world is guilty before God. So no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we really are. And that's what Peter is doing now. He's showing them the bad news about themselves. And I know sometimes we don't want to offend and we don't want to make people uncomfortable, but they need to know the truth, just like I need to know the truth. Romans 3:23, it's in this same text. New International Version says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody. Ecclesiastes 7:20 from the NIV, same thing. But in the Old Testament, see, this truth has been true from the beginning. Indeed, there is no one on earth who is righteous. No one who does what is right and never sins. There's some good people, let me tell you. But the world would have you to believe that you're a good person. You're not a good person. You're a sinner. You were born in sin. There is none righteous, no, not one. And then Paul, writing to Timothy, he's getting him ready for the ministry. Gee, he wants him to know what's coming. And so he, in 2 Timothy 3, preparing Timothy, he's wanting him to know what the ministry's going to be like. This is what he said. He said, you need to know this, Timothy. In the last days, there will be very difficult times. I'm often puzzled by people's response today. They're all stressed out, wind up, tired and atop when they watch the news. I think, well, what did you think the last days would look like? The scriptures are clear. He goes on, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud and scoffing at God. They will be disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends and be reckless. They will be puffed up with pride and they'll love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. He didn't pull any punches. Timothy, I want you to know what you're up against. Because man is broken. Man is his own problem because of the sin that controls him. In Romans 12:3, don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourself by the faith of God has given to you. All right, so there's our problem. There's our problem, okay? Pretty obvious, right? No way around it. He said, no excuses. This is the real. You look in the mirror. This is what you see. Well, let's go back to the text again. Verses 17 through 19. Notice there he said, now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away and blotted out, and then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord. See, if you want to continue on the path of refreshing, it's not enough to hear the bad news. Some people are real good. They focus only on the bad news. You never hear the good news. Some people focus only on the good news and they never tell you the truth about the bad news. The reality is we need to face the bad news, but be open to receive God's good news and his provision that takes us through the problem to the provision. Here it is. Repent and receive God's pardon. Repent and receive God's pardon. This scripture isn't on the screen, but we used it in our sharing time. For those of you at home, we had kind of a sharing time before the message, and we were in Isaiah 56 talking about God's reign coming upon us, and we will look at that a little later. But I noticed the verses just before it caught my eye this morning. He said, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Who's mercy for? The guilty. If you're not guilty, you don't need mercy. You need justice. How many here need mercy? Mercy's for the guilty. I'm guilty. And God's mercy is there. And the prophet of old said, listen, here it is. And God, he defined the problem, but he said, hey, listen, I'm not just going to tell you about your problem, but here, I got a pardon for you. I'm going to give you a pardon. Anybody been pardoned? You know, well, the president can pardon you. Governors can pardon you. You know what that means? Like, you're incarcerated, you're guilty, and somebody comes along and says, I'm going to pardon you. I'm going to set you free, just like you never did anything wrong. Would that be incredible? Well, that's exactly what God has done for us. That's exactly what he's done for us. Listen, you're not innocent. You're just pardoned. Hear me. Don't act like you're innocent. You're guilty. But you're pardoned. You're pardoned. Romans 3, 21 through 26 even refers back to the writings of Moses, right? Apostle Paul in Romans. What a great book. What doctrines we find there about our own position in Christ. He says, but now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as he promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. You're going to see that in Peter's sermon. This has been from the beginning. This plan, that this promise that God has, he knew about the problem. We are going to be made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who you are. Is that good news? That's great news. Especially if you understand the bad news. This is the answer. For everyone has sinned. We've all fallen short of God's glorious standard. Yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. Listen, the penalty has been, sin is still present, but the penalty has been removed, for God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was, listen to this, God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. How many think that's unfair? He said, no. It's actually God being fair. For he was looking ahead and he included them in what he would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just, and he makes sinners right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. Later in Acts 17, you're going to read this, for God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in the early times. But now, he commands everyone everywhere to repent of their sins and turn to him. That means a change of mind, a change of direction, a turning around. Romans 2:4 from the New International Version, do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, his forbearance, his patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? God's not beating you over the head with a club. He's inviting you to receive this pardon. It is by his kindness. And that leads me to that place of repentance. Psalms 103:12, my favorite scripture, for God has removed my sins as far as the east is from the west. Harley talked about the sun rising and setting. Listen, whenever you see that, you also remember your sins are as far as the east is from the west. Have you ever went east and tried to catch up with west? What's he trying to tell us? He's trying to tell us what Peter said. Your sins are wiped away. It literally means blotted out. This is a fascinating scripture. Because in that day and age, and I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago, when they wrote on parchment, with their ink was not like our ink. It didn't have an acid content to it, so it didn't grab the paper like our ink does today. And in that day, you could, and it was called blotting out. The writer would blot out. If he had a mistake or something he wanted to change, he'd take a wet, damp cloth and he would wipe it out. And he started over. It was just like it was never there. Do you understand that? That's what God has done for you? Do you know he used that word one other time in the Old Testament, in Revelations, the 21st chapter, verse 4, when he says, and Jesus will wipe away every tear. Same word. He's just going to free you from all those tears and all that. That's what God's, he's going to wipe it all away. He's going to blot it out. Do you understand that? I heard John Piper say the other day, I really appreciate this. He said, sanctification is not strength, it's weakness. We've been talking a lot about, in our weakness, God's power is perfected. When we live a sanctified life, that's not strength. Oh, I'm living a sanctified life. No, that's weakness. That's God's work in you, that treasure that he's put in you. He's working that out in you. It's not your strength, it's God's strength. It's not your goodness, it's his goodness. It's not your righteousness, it's his righteousness. Well, let's revisit again these few verses. One more time, let's go back to it. Acts 3, 17 through 19. You remember that first part? Something jumped out at me and grabbed me here in this scripture. He talked about what they did in ignorance, but God was fulfilling all that the prophets foretold about the Messiah, that he must suffer these things. In fact, if you jump down to verse 20 and 21, here it is on the screen, and he will again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah, for he must remain in heaven until the time for the final restoration of all things, as God promised long ago through his holy prophets. Are you seeing something here? When things are rough and when things are hard, Remember this path of refreshing. Remember it. God's plan and purpose will always be fulfilled. Count on it. You watch the news and you don't think so. I'm telling you. This has been, did you hear what Peter said? Clear back in the beginning, this was prophesied. God's plan is bigger than you. God's plan is bigger than me. God's plan is bigger than any nation on this planet. God's plan is bigger than any political system and bigger than any political party. God's plan, I call it his super plan. God has a super plan. And it's, now I'm a little plan, but God's got a super plan. It's a big, big plan. Did you know it's even out of the context of time as I know it? God's plan is bigger than my life. It's bigger than my life. I think 100 years is a long time. That's nothing. It's a bleep. Life is a vapor. I'm part of that little plan, but God's got a super plan. And there is no government, there is no situation on this planet that can keep God's plan from being fulfilled on the earth. It's already settled. Genesis 50:20, we see it in Joseph's life. Don't you love that story? And here Joseph, over a long period of time, this wasn't a few weeks, this was years ago, he was a teenager when it started, and he goes through, his brothers sell him out. Oh my goodness. And then he's accused falsely, he ends up in prison, and then they forget about him there. Anybody thinking God's forgot about me? But there was a super plan. And nothing that happened to him could stop the plan. In fact, and you're going to see this in the next couple of weeks, the resistance actually played into the plan. Because God's plan is bigger than all of that. And it will always be fulfilled. Your time frame is too small. That's why you get so upset. Well, God, what are you going to do about this? Lord, what? You think all the wheels are coming off the wagon, but listen, God is working outside of time, outside of your time, and he is working outside of your life. Luke 23:34, Jesus on the cross said to the thief and to those around, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Isn't that what Peter said? I know you did it out of ignorance. What do you mean, out of ignorance? They knew exactly what they were doing. No. They were rebellious. They were angry. They were upset. They were religious. Yeah, all that. But they didn't really know the super plan. They didn't know it. They wouldn't know it till later. And people around you are the same way. So don't be careful how you respond to them. They don't understand. There was a time when I didn't understand. But God's plan is being fulfilled. Listen, see it in the scripture. Even in the resistance. He is even working with ignorant religious people. Satan can't stop him. Oh, Pastor, I don't know about that. Have you been looking around lately? I think Satan's alive and well. I know he can't stop him. Oh, listen, what about Judas? The scriptures say that Satan moved on Judas's heart. That's pretty clear, isn't it? How many of you think Satan would like to have a do-over? That didn't quite work out the way I thought it was going to do. He's as ignorant as everybody else. Next time you might tell him that. Satan, you're ignorant. You're as ignorant as me. You think you know, but you don't know. God has a super plan. It's even bigger than the devil. It's bigger than all of the systems of this world. In Isaiah 55:11, we read it earlier in our service from the New International Version. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty. It will not. But it will accomplish what I desire, and it will achieve all the purposes for which I sent it. Write it down. Write it down. Even if it looks contrary, remember Abraham, when things are contrary to hope, in hope he believed. Sometimes things aren't going to seem like they're working out the way, but you got to remember there's a super plan. You're going to be just like Joseph. You're going to be sitting in a jail cell and think everybody forgot about you. The plan is still in play. God's super plan. No one can stop it. Well, let's finish reading Peter's sermon real quickly here. Just, you'll see this. It even continues on. And then he's going to have a conclusion to his sermon. That's like, you know, preachers always say, in conclusion. Nothing like, wait till you see how his in conclusion works. Here it is. Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. Listen carefully to everything he tells you. Then Moses said, anyone who will not listen to that prophet will be completely cut off from God's people. Starting from Samuel, every prophet spoke about what is happening today. You are the children of those prophets. Everything happened just like it was supposed to, even to this day. I got a question. There's a lot of history between all that that didn't look good to me. Still true. What Samuel spoke and all the prophets after him, it's happening. You may not understand it. It's bigger than your life. It's bigger than your situation. It's bigger than America. It's bigger than this any nation you can think of. And keep reading. And he says, and you are included in the covenant God promised to your ancestors. Now he's talking to the children of Israel. For God said to Abraham, through your descendants, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And when God raised up his servant Jesus, he sent him first to you, the people of Israel, to bless you by turning each of you back from your sinful ways. That's the super plan, isn't it? Now, you can look at this a couple ways. I don't know what your eschatology is, but I personally believe there is a covenant relationship that God has with the people of Israel. And I think there is going to be a restoration in time. It will come. I also think that we are spiritual Israel, and we have a promise as well, that the heavens are going to hold him until when? Till all things are restored. I said, boy, it doesn't look like it to me right now. I understand. But you know, the Bible also says that you're not going to die. But if I live long enough, I'm going to stand by your casket. So tell me, how is that possible? Here's the reality. It will not have the final word. You may experience physical death, but you will not experience the spiritual death. And the promise is there. The promise comes through the problem of death and takes you to the provision of eternal life. Don't you see the three P's? They're in everything, the bad news, the good news. It's always present. Don't just concentrate on one. And if you are going to focus on one, focus on the good news, all right? The super play, the super plan is underway, past, present, and future. And you need to act like it. Do you? When you listen to the news, and we're going into a political season that can be very divisive, never forget the super plan. Nothing is going to stop it. Well, Peter's done preaching. Be careful. Don't let chapter 4 fool you. The chapters are there just so you can find things in your Bible. They're not there to say, well, now this happened. No. Take that chapter 4 out, just set it off to the side, because Peter just finished preaching. And in conclusion, Acts 4, verses 1 through 4, while Peter and John were speaking to the people, they were confronted by the priests and the captain of the temple guard and some of the Sadducees. These leaders were very disturbed and upset that Peter and John were teaching the people that through Jesus there is a resurrection of the dead. See, Sadducees didn't believe that. That's why they're sad, you see. They didn't believe it. You see something else here that's kind of fascinating to me? The captain of the temple guard, that's who arrested Jesus not long ago. Remember, Peter saw them from afar off. He denied Jesus 3 times in the temple court. Now it's flipped on him. He's on the inside, looking out, and they're upset with him. How'd you like to have a church service where they come in and arrest your pastor at the end of the sermon? Well, I hope that never happens, but it could. It could, if they don't like what you're teaching. What happened? Verse 3 and 4, they arrested them. And since it was already evening, they put them in jail until the morning. But many of the people who heard this message believed it. So the number of men who believed now totaled about 5,000. Did you hear that? Look at it again. But many of the people who heard their message believed it. So the number of men who believed now totaled about 5,000. Excuse me, men. We know 3,000 came to the Lord at Pentecost. So now there's a couple more thousand, but they're only counting men. So some believe it could have been 10, 15,000 strong in just a short period of time. But I got a question. If you were entertaining being part of such a movement and the police came in and arrested your leaders and took them away, would you still sign up? Would you? Here's the fourth part that will lead you to our message in 2 weeks. Resistance and refreshing share a common path. They share a common fact. In fact, God will often use resistance to bring refreshing. Backwards, don't you think? We see it around the globe. Some of the countries that are most restricted, the church is growing in powerful ways. How's that possible? They don't have the freedoms you have. The church in America is stalled out in many ways, maybe declining to a little. We've got freedoms. We have liberty. See, the problem is we put our hope in our rights and our liberties instead of in Jesus. It doesn't matter. I mean, America, what did God do before America existed? We haven't been around that long, you know. Was God's hands tied? No, he's always been at work. The super plan has always been in play. But America comes along, and I believe under the sovereignty of God's hand, he is using her and will continue to use her as long as she lets him to accomplish the part of the super plan. But don't for a minute put your faith and trust in some political outcome. I mean, I've heard people say, well, if this election doesn't go the right way, it's over for us. What? What are you saying? Are you saying the super plan is dead? It will never be dead, no matter what happens. I'm praying for, I've got preferences the way I'd like to see things go, but I want you to know the plan of God is going to be fulfilled. And even when, and maybe resistance is the best thing. And you're going to see it as we walk through the book of Acts, 2 Timothy 3:11 and 12. Paul's again recruiting Timothy. He wants him to go into ministry. Now, if I was recruiting somebody, I don't think I'd do it this way. But Paul said, listen, I've been persecuted a lot. He even listed. So Timothy signed here. In fact, he went on in verse 12. He said, yes, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Jesus said in John 15, 19 through 20, do you remember what I told you? A slave is not greater than the master. Since they persecuted me, naturally they will persecute you. And if they had listened to me, they will listen to you. Jesus said in Matthew 5 on the Sermon on the Mount, God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Who's lining up for that blessing? Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. Listen, this is the reality. This is the very first recorded persecution, and it will set things in motion for 300 years of incredible persecution upon the church. People will be beheaded. People will be fed to lions. Read Hebrews. They'll be burned at the stake. Nero took Christians and put them on a stake and lit them on fire to light the path. That was the city streetlights where Christians burning. Can you imagine? What about our persecution? You persecuted, are you? Say, nothing like that. Yeah, you're right. Nothing like that. It's all relative, isn't it? But we still can experience a type of, I call it soft persecution. You can be canceled. Anybody, this is a new term I heard, you can be ghosted. Is that like Casper the Friendly Ghost? Or what is that? I heard that. It's like you don't exist, right? They cut you off. Social shunning. They will marginalize you. They will pass over you for a promotion. You might lose your job. God forbid, people might make fun of you. As the scriptures say, they may mock you. Here's the reality that we have to contend with. We all want people to like us, don't we? I want people to like me. I hear people say, I don't care if people like me or not. Guess what? They usually won't. That's a bad attitude, right? I do care, and I love people, and I'm not mad at anybody. In fact, my heart is more sad than mad. I want to love people, even my enemies. And Jesus said that. Love those who despitefully use you. Forgive them. This is the fruit of the Spirit at work, isn't it? And we're going to get into this in a couple weeks. How do we respond to resistance? If you're standing in the place of refreshing, of restoration and wholeness and health, when you go through resistance, you will know how to respond because the Holy Spirit's going to help you. And we're going to see that in the example before us. And may this scripture lead us to that message in 1 Peter 4:12. Through 13, dear friends, don't be surprised. You act so surprised. What did you expect the last day? don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through as if something strange has happened to you. Instead, be very glad, for those trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all in the world. All right, do you see it? Have you seen the good news, bad news? It's everywhere, isn't it? Good news, bad news? Do you see the three kingdom piece? Do you see the promise? Do you see the problem? Do you see the provision? It's always in play, and it's in play for us right now, and I want you to know it's bigger than you. It's bigger than your life. If I live to be 100, I'm still a vapor. That's all I am. I'm part of it. I'm part of the plan. I'm a piece to the puzzle, but the puzzle is huge, and we're part of it. Why do I live here? Why do I live in this time? Why do I come to this church? What? I don't know. I don't know the answer to any of those questions. I just know I'm showing up every day, and I'm part of the super plan. And nothing that I see, the enemy wants to discourage you and get you all wound up tighter than a top. And things might go your way, things might not go your way, but make sure you're putting your faith and trust in the right thing. Be involved in your culture, do everything you can. I hope you all will. But listen, the bottom line is you're putting your faith and trust in the plan of God. Amen. What's your one thing today? What's your one thing? In your insert's a place to write it down. You don't have to remember this whole sermon. Just remember one thing. What's your one thing? Text it to me. I love to get your text and hear what God spoke to your heart. I know what I said. I don't know what you're going to hear, but write it down. Somebody might write down, you wrote that down 30 years ago. Okay, great. Write it down. I love, and I've taken some of the stuff you've said, and man, I've hung on to it. Last week, that you don't have to know everything. You just have to yield everything. Man, I'm taking that with me to the grave. That's going to save you in some time. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. Remember what Paul said? He said he gave the good news, bad news scenario in Corinthians. He said, I'm hard pressed on every side. That's bad news, but I'm not crushed. That's good news. He said, I'm perplexed. I don't understand. That's bad news, but I am not in despair. That's good news. He said, I am persecuted, hunted, but I'm not alone. Bad news, good news. He said, I'm knocked down, but I'm not destroyed. Amen? It's bad news, good news. It's always going to be around you. It's always going to be in play. Don't act like some strange thing has come upon you, but learn how to engage it properly as a kingdom son and daughter by the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to talk about that in 2 weeks. 4 ways you can respond to resistance, whether it's soft resistance or something more intense, you know. Are we going to keep our liberties and freedoms here? I hope. I used to say, well, in my lifetime, but I've learned a few things lately. Some things have happened in my lifetime I didn't think I'd see. So I don't know what might happen in the years I have left, but it really doesn't matter because the master plan is in play. The prophet spoke of it. That's what Peter's saying. He's telling the people there, listen, you're part of it. You weren't even born when that all was said, but you're still part of it. And what is happening today is all part of it. Listen to me. What is happening today is all part of it. And you have been chosen to live in this time, in this place, with the blessings you have. It's all for the master super plan. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for the promise that takes us through the problem. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for the provision that is ours right now today. We're going to come to this table and we're going to worship you. In this reality, we are in awe. Some of us have lost our wow. Would you give it back to us? Give it back to us. Let's realize this is huge and we're part of it. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. I want you to consider this scripture as we come to the table this morning. This is your reality. This is the super plan right here. And you're part of it. Paul declared that my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body, not trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I want you to know something today as you come to the table. You're not innocent. You're pardoned. God didn't just come to make a better version of you. He came to make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Do you understand this? This is powerful. And we're coming with that realization today. And I want to give you an invitation. And I know this might sound strange to you if you're new here, but if you've never given your heart, you've never taken the good news to deal with your bad news, today's your day. And Paul told us, just put your faith and trust in what Christ has done. That's what he's saying to the people in Solomon's porch. And he's saying it here to us in Wichita, Kansas. He's declaring it to us today. Amen? Amen? If you have never made that step, I invite you to do something. I invite you to come to this table and take communion for the very first time. Well, wait, don't you have to pray with me first? Don't I have to do something first? No. No. I don't save anybody. God saves you. And you know, you see these great crusades where people get up and walk forward. I love it. I love it. But I want you to know, when were those people saved? Before they ever got out of their chair, God had already dealt with them. They're coming for people to agree with them and pray with them and walk with them. And that's what we want to do. But as your first act today, if you put your faith in trust, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. It's not God's love that saves you. It's God's love that makes it possible. His love made it possible, but it's what you believe. And if you're willing to believe and put your trust in Christ today, I invite you, maybe for the very first time, to come and take this cup and take this bread and partake of it with us. And then at the end of the service, I want you to come forward and I want to pray with you, all right? I want to agree with you and celebrate with you. I still remember, have never forget, the young lady in first service many years ago, Emma. And she came forward with that invitation. And she says, I want to give my heart to Jesus. I said, okay, Emma. I said, well, I'll pray with you and you can agree with me. And she said, I can pray myself. I said, okay. And this was her prayer. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Couldn't pray a better prayer. I want to encourage you today to come pray the prayer. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's what it's for. This is the table of Thanksgiving. This is the super plan, and you're part of it. Amen? Father, as we come to the table, enlarge our hearts to receive this moment and speak to us not just corporately, but individually. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. For taking this old train wreck and not just repairing it, but restoring and replacing it with the glory of God. I thank you, Lord, that in my weakness your power is perfected. And it is because of this gift of salvation that we have all gathered here today. And I pray that anyone who is gathered in this place for whatever reason they came, that they would understand how much you love them. Fully aware of the problem, and you made a promise that will take us through it to the provision. This is our provision, and we rejoice in it today, and we thank you for this precious gift. Thank you that it's not our goodness, it's your goodness. It's not our righteousness, but it's your righteousness. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. I want to give an invitation if you're here today, and you took communion for the very first time, would you please come, let me pray with you. I want to walk with you. I want to encourage you. If you need healing in your body, we will anoint with oil and pray the prayer of faith over you. If you just need encouragement today or something in this message that you want just somebody to walk with you, we want to pray with you. We're not going to be in any hurry. We will stick around as long until we'll be the last to leave. Okay, I will lock the door when I leave. So if there's people here, please be patient and wait. I'd love to meet with you. If you want to meet during the week, you call Donna she will put you on my schedule. I will meet with you anytime, any place, anywhere. All right, take advantage. This is God's gift to you. It's called the body of Christ. Alicia asked me to remind you too, next Sunday will be pop-up Sunday. And that's for the ladies at 4 o'clock. It just pops up now and then. You're gonna have a pop-up Sunday and there's gonna be some teaching, a special time of fellowship in the afternoon. So mark that down. You'll hear more about it next week. Next Sunday, I wanna remind you again, the Nicholson family will be with us. This is a great picture. The first picture was taken 11 years ago. This is when they adopted their daughter. You'll see her there in pink. And here it is recently, the family. I don't know how many of them will be here with us next week, but they're from this congregation. Many of you will know them. And they were actually left here to go to International House of Prayer in Kansas City, where they have been all these many years with their family. And these little children have now grown up. I've spent time in their home when they were little. Amazing kids. And now in college, and whew, where's all the time go? I want you to know, it doesn't stop, it keeps moving. That's part of the super plan right there that they're part of. And I don't know what Zach's going to minister on, but he comes once a year. And some of you Friday night will be part of the people who support them in ministry. We'll have a little reception Friday night, and you'll know about that. But then they'll be with us Sunday morning. And so just come and open. Now, Connie and I will still be here. And we'll look forward to seeing you and see what, I think God's got a word for me. Say, Pat, once a month I do not preach. And there's a reason. It's so I can receive. I want to receive. And so I'm coming, prayed up and prepared. Listen, what you do Saturday night is very important. Please guard that time. Get your heart ready and come just ready to receive whatever God has for us. Amen. And then the week after that, where are we going to be? Pick it right up there, Acts. The fourth chapter. I don't know if we'll finish the chapter, but we'll make a good college try, okay? But we're going to find out 4 ways as a believer you can respond to resistance. All right? You ready? Is this exciting? All right. This is going to be Acts 29. We're going to learn from the first 28 chapters so we can live chapter 29. Father, we thank you for the time to gather here today. It's been precious. We don't take it for granted. I know we come every week, but I pray you keep it fresh and special for us. And we love you, Lord, and we love each other. And now we're leaving from here to fulfill the mission, the master plan that's in play right now, today, in our lives. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Go in God's love, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. God bless you.